Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode number 57 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good seeing too. Last week we did pennies, heels, holes, and I managed to get myself a ticket in the queue from someone who didn't turn up. So I went in and got me knickers and me schgunders and me flip-flops and me towels. This week, God, we're either going to call it actor's hole or acting me whole or actors me whole. And I'm here with legend Irish actress Denise McCormack. Normally I would do the intro afterwards, but I'm in the process of moving house, big cold sore on my face, and I don't even have a cupboard. I don't even have my car. It's full of rubbish. So we're in Denise's kitchen, 2 metres apart, having an old chat. This is totally legal now, like we're not in level five. And basically, acting. Denise, why do we do it? What is wrong with us?
Yeah.
And who can heal our holes?
Well, that's when you rang me and asked me to do this, and you said it was called Actor's Hole. That's what I thought. Actor me hole. Actor me hole. It's why do we do it? I don't know. It's a compulsion. It's an addiction. It is
an addiction, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're born with it. I think you just have to live with it. It's like.
And when did you know you were addicted to it, or when did you get the bug?
Like, I've been acting since my mom actually sent me to drama class, and she sent myself and both my sisters. And because two cousins of mine, my mother looked after them as well and brought them to school, and they were up in my house all the time, they kind of got roped into it as well. So the five of us went to speech and drama classes, and that's what it was elocution lessons. And we went because we grew up in Drimna, my mum's from Drimna, and that's where we grew up, and my mother just didn't want us to be commoners, you know.
Okay, well, that is so untrue, but it's she just wanted you to have the right accent, is it?
Speak proper, maybe.
Okay, well, I mean, the reason we ended up in acting classes as children as well was probably the same reasons, you know, farmers from Cork.
Well, this is it, and you know, we were real Dubliners, and you know, back then, and the elocution lessons that I went to, we were looking at we were taught received pronunciation, so this RP thing. And you know, back in the day when you went to be an actor or when you went to study drama, it was about developing an RP accent, so this kind of received pronunciation, Queen's English. So it's nothing about Ireland. It's gas, like.
Yeah.
And that has all changed now. Being an actor, your currency is your uniqueness.
Absolutely, because we go back to, I just did an audition yesterday for a country woman from Cork. And I'm sure when you did Love Hate,
100%.
You had to pull out every bit of your uniqueness and the rest and add 20 layers to it.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're an actor, it's great getting the opportunity, and usually the opportunities to play different characters and characters that are so dissimilar to yourself comes in college and at university, and when you go and study it. Then you go out into the real world, you get an agent, and you get calls for parts. That
was Love Hate one of your first big screen roles?
It was. I mean, I'd been so from that drama class, I went on to audition and to work, and my first acting role was in a thing called Echoes, which was a Maeve Binchy book made into a drama series for Channel 4. I played the female lead when she was younger. So that's where the bug came from.
Okay. So you
know.
Oh, yeah.
Dunmaurice.
Oh, for God's sake. Like, treated like a queen.
Stop up in the hotels. And, you know, you had people, you got whatever you wanted.
I mean, that'll do it. That's your shot of heroin right
isn't
there.
It just, yeah.
No, you're doomed there. And you got an IFTA for Love Hate.
I got an IFTA for Love Hate, yeah. So I went in for Love Hate and I got that part. And literally, that was 4 days' work. I think I was.
What?
I swear to God, Norma, it was bizarre. It was 4 days, but I knew looking at that script. The audition scene was the scene where I'm lying in bed and I've just been blown up by Nidge. And I've had to have my boob implants taken out. And Franner comes in and just can't cope because I'm not the Dolly Bird that he had married, and I realised that. And it was so beautifully written. Nothing was said, but everything was said. And
so how many episodes were you in of the...
I was in the second series. Yeah. I think it was 6 episodes.
And they managed to shoot them all in 4 days because of location.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But when I say I was in 6 episodes, I wasn't in every scene.
But you made such an impact. Like, no one forgets you.
Yeah,
in
the character was super, you know. Yeah. And like that, I kind of saw the opportunity and
I think that's the problem with filming in Ireland. Like, I did a thing called Damo and Ivor. I was in 12 episodes. And 4 days filming is what I got out of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, it wasn't as gravitas as Love Hate. It's more comedy and farcical, but absolutely adored it. And the problem is in Ireland, in the UK, like I went up recently to do one line in Belfast on a show, and I got paid more for that one or two lines above in Belfast because it was a UK agreement than I got for 12 episodes on an Irish production. Yeah. Because in down south, you're not an artist, you're an interpreter.
Yes.
And you were bought out up the yin yang for the day.
Yeah.
And that now, are things going to change?
Are things going to change? I think actors just need to have a voice. I think we need to. We don't really have. We don't have anyone standing up for us. I don't think things are changing now.
Well, the problem is there's too many of us. Well, not too many of us, but we're unemployed every day. That gives you no voice. If you're unemployed, you've no voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you cause trouble, there's 2,000 other people to take your part.
And that's it. I've gone for some auditions and I've looked at, you know, how much they're paying you for the daily rate and the buyouts. And at the end of the day, you won't have the price for a cup of coffee. That's an exaggeration, but it's just not good enough. And you kind of go, well, if I say I'm not going to do this, there's so many people standing in line to take that. And I have done that a couple of times. I have said, no, I can't, because having children as well, we've got childcare costs. You have, you know, there's a couple of things that I've been offered. I remember, and you do the math and you just realise that actually I will have to pay to do this job.
Well, yeah, you'd be better, you know, at a counter in a supermarket, because you'd get probably more respect
when you'd
and more money.
Paid, and you wouldn't, you know.
How many episodes did you do of Red Rock? That was, is that nearly 100 episodes?
2 million. Yeah, I don't know how many, but loads.
And was that an Irish, is that an Irish company or was it BBC or?
No, it was TV3 and then it was co-produced with Element Pictures and Company Pictures, John York's.
Which was good quality.
It was really good
quality. I enjoyed it.
Bridget Kiley.
Yeah, Psychopath.
It was great. It was you know, it kind of started out with these two matriarchal women, and I remember reading it and thinking, God, usually that's a man.
Yes.
Do you know, usually this is two feuding families, but
yourself and Kathy Belton, you were ferocious.
And went head to head. Now, you know, it had its limitations because initially it was before the watershed. So, you know, we were kind of held
limited.
On things we could do and limited. And then budgets as well in Ireland, it was limited. And I think that's ultimately why it came to an end, just because everyone had so much passion to make.
It could only sustain so long on that level of
it was either going to go one way or another. I remember in the early days having conversations with people about writing a script and kind of saying, what is this a soap opera or is it a drama? And nobody really knew. And then there was a cohort of people that really were pushing for it to be a drama and not to have those. There's nothing wrong with soap operas, you know, but you have to know what you're in.
I think it got a great balance. It really did.
Yeah, it kind of.
If it's too, you can't churn out that many if it's too highbrow.
Mm.
But it just had such respect. And yet it was such a machine as well.
It was a machine. And do you know what? It was a machine for giving actors work.
Yeah.
Every week...
I didn't get a day on it.
Ah, Norma.
Micheál. Acting Micheál. Did you get Dancing with the Stars out of that, do you think? Was that...
No, it wasn't, because that was contentious as well. Dancing with the Stars was an RT production, so it was really love-hate. It was the love-hate thing.
It was love-hate. But were you in Red Rock when you were doing Dancing with the Stars?
I was doing Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
Right.
Was, yeah.
Ah, yeah, they had to spread the love. It couldn't be just... What was they call it? Dancing with the Staff in RT, but they had to hire people from various stations as well.
Yeah, I was TV3 then.
Great. Okay, and Dancing with the Stars, you got to the final.
Got to the final.
Why were you such a good dancer? No one knew you danced your whole life. Did you know you were that good at dancing?
No, I knew I could dance. I don't think I would have taken it if I thought I had two left feet, because I just don't have that kind of comedy that I
can... Fake it till you make it. I think I'm brilliant at everything.
You are brilliant at everything. But I kind of knew that I wasn't going to get it on me quick... witty one-liners.
Oh, would you still know what I mean? Listen, you let the dancing do the talking. Sure, the winner was a fellow with two left feet. Aidan, because he's a GAA star from Kerry.
Yeah.
Lovely fella, I presume.
Lovely fella, absolutely.
But you were the best dancer.
Yeah, well, there was myself and Avy and Gary.
She was very good as well,
and
actually.
And Avy was really good. And actually, what happened in the end, and it was really funny, because I think if Avy had won, now, I love Avy and we're friends, but we were... It was me or her. And we thought, you know, it was... And because Aidan won it, neither of us were disappointed, really.
That's kind of great, isn't it?
You can't
forget that this is a country of GAA people.
Absolutely.
Sometimes us living up here near the Pale, I forget about my roots sometimes.
Oh, it's GAA.
It's GAA.
All the way. Yeah.
Now, I thought Kerry might stand against him because he wasn't going to get any Cork votes being from Kerry.
And
Cork is the biggest county in Ireland, like.
Isn't it?
But I do think country people are more likely to pick up the phone and vote.
Yeah, so. There is that. And I think in Ireland, definitely, people from Dublin don't vote.
Yeah.
You know, and that's well documented.
How has COVID been for you and the acting in the last year? Because, you know, obviously theatres are shut, but that wouldn't have been one of your main sources.
No, and theatre wasn't. But having said that, I've always found it difficult to kind of break into theatre, which is hilarious when I think back. Theatre is where my grow came from and it's what I love to do. But just before COVID hit, I'd been cast in the Gate Theatre. And I'd never, ever been on the Gate Theatre stage in Shadow of Gunman, Mrs. Gregson.
Oh, wow.
How are you?
Is that coming back?
I don't know. It would be lovely to think it would, but...
What a part.
Know, who knows?
Oh, my God, you could have not phoned it in, but you just...
Loved it. And when I got that part, I remember just celebrating, you know, the people I was going to work with and the company and just being on the Gate stage.
I've been on it once.
Have you?
Yeah, I did Constant Wife. But we both did stints in the Abbey during the year. I did one of the Dear Ireland monologues early on. And was it about the...
It wasn't Dear Ireland. God, what
was it about the babies?
It was about the mother and baby homes. And it was testimonies from 46 women who had been in mother and baby homes, and they had written down their experience, and myself and 45 other actresses and actors, I think there were a couple of actors as well, gave voice to their words, and it was lovely, and it was really, and I was so proud to be part of that, because
And the woman who wrote my monologue, mine wasn't just the mother and babies, mine was just giving, you know, writers and actors work, and
that's right,
my writer happened to be a nurse on the front line.
Really?
She's a writer and a nurse, Aoife Martin, and she just wrote it beautifully, so it was so easy to perform. And she was so busy in the hospital. I said, it's coming in a few minutes, over the 10 minutes. She said, you chop it. She liked that, imagine, giving me the power to get rid of the bits I felt were a bit clunky.
It was
I just adored doing it.
I know.
And we met on a film called A Date for Mad Mary.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I knew you anyway, but you were the mammy and I was the wedding planner or something like that.
That's
so lovely.
Right. It was lovely, wasn't it? Wasn't that
the Thorntons film, Darren and Colin
Yeah.
The gorgeous lead. Oh my God.
Shauna
Kerschlake. She's so amazing.
Yeah, she is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Great.
And then you handed me a part not long after that.
Did I?
You were in EastEnders.
Yes.
And you were playing the mammy in this American movie. And you couldn't get off EastEnders.
That's right.
And they were looking for someone to play the mammy literally the week before. And I got the part.
Yeah.
I was like not thrilled for you that you couldn't do both. But,
I was thrilled that you got a chance.
I had a great time. Now, that film is for... What do you call it? It's one of those ones for American.
Yes.
What's that channel that kind of has...
Well, there's many channels in America, isn't there? Yeah.
Kind of American films. My American cousin saw it and he was like, right, yeah.
Oh, have you seen it?
No, I haven't. But he said it's lovely, but just sweet as treacle.
Absolutely,
It was called Christmas Perfection.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was about a dream and fairies and stuff.
It was down the Voca, wasn't it?
Yeah,
How did they do the snow scene?
It feckin' snowed.
It didn't.
It snowed.
I've never asked you that, actually.
No, they had machines, but I think it snowed anyway.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, that's how did you get on in EastEnders?
Loved EastEnders. I was working opposite Patrick Bergen and he's lovely.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of made it all easy. But it's very funny, very strange to be over in a place like that with those characters that you've grown up with.
Oh my
God. I remember being at university and like Grant and Phil Mitchell and the Tiffany thing. And then when I went over to EastEnders, I went into BBC looking for where I was and it was this big parking lot. I was like, where's the EastEnders thing?
So was it slightly different to Red Rock then?
Just
a pinch?
Like, no, I felt like I was at home. Went in and went up to reception and I was like, I'm over here to meet such and such for EastEnders. And who was it sitting at reception? Phil Mitchell.
Right. Did you go a little bit shaky? Just a bit...
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah.
You know, and then you realise, I'm an actor. Why am I doing that? He's an actor. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's just someone that's been in your living room for so many decades.
Oh my gosh.
And then you're going,
it is. I'm really proud of being... in that and
part
over
of that.
There and
yeah.
You know, it was great crack.
With your kids, have you got to spend more time with your kids during COVID? And I saw a dry robe out there, so we're both dry robe anchors.
Oh my God, total.
When did you have yours before COVID?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so we're both newbie
dry robe. And actually I only got mine a month ago and I'm scarlet wearing it.
Well, you did get the camouflage one. You are the...
I got the really loud
one. So you are called the leader of the pack. You're the...
Oh, am I?
Yeah, they call you the ultimate dry rope anchor.
Oh, God.
What colour is the lining of it?
Oh,
don't say pink.
Cerise pink.
Okay, if you have the cerise pink or the camouflage, you're a wanker.
Oh, wow.
But you have both, so you're double.
Double
you're triple,
wanker.
No, triple wanker,
oh,
actually.
Jesus, I'm going to own that.
Do. And has the water froze your pain over the year?
Do you know what? It's kept me sane.
I hear you.
I know. It's I never thought I'd be someone who would swim in the water in like January, please.
Yep.
Why are those people doing that? And I am that person now. And if I don't do it within 24 hours, I'm kind of like itching and going.
So you're going every day?
I go every day.
Oh, Mother God, I'm only doing it once or twice a week.
Mm, I do every day. Now, like
if you miss a day, so be it.
Totally fine. But I do feel it. And I fly down and I have woken up early one or two mornings and gone down at like 6:30.
Have you seen sunrises and sunsets? That
not many, no,
not many.
Two. Like,
yeah.
No.
How long do you stay in for?
6 minutes.
6 minutes,
probably
yeah.
Probably 6 minutes.
But you might get more in the summer.
Yeah, and then if you're chatting to people, it's been really nice because we haven't been able to be around people. So in the city.
Are you togs or wetsuit?
I did buy a shorty wetsuit, but I don't wear it.
No.
I don't like that feeling of the water going
either.
Down your cleavage into your boots.
Ghoulies, yeah.
It feels like you're weaning yourself.
We don't have ghoulies. But I do feel in the winter, if the water is only 6 or 7 degrees, you're really not meant to stay in more than 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
No.
Is that hailstone?
That is. Is it?
Oh, my God. Look, it's May and it's hailstoning today and yesterday.
Yeah.
And you'll be in the sea in a minute?
Unbelievable. I'm in the sea with the snow.
So your kids are what age? Your two lads are?
7 and 9.
How do you find, obviously COVID is different. You've spent a lot of time with them, I'm sure, like myself.
Yes.
But working as an actor with children, And the insecurity and the not knowing and the trying to do audition tapes from home.
Oh, it's really hard. You know, it is hard. It's just the kids are too young to read opposite me and to do the self-tapes with me. So I've gone around to people's houses and done it in the back garden, done it self-tapes.
Yeah, we've done ones together.
You
know? Yeah.
We've done, you've come over here and you've done a self-tape for me. And
my 11-year-old did one with me 2 weeks ago and got me a little part on the Disney.
Oh, nice.
No, it's a Disney. No, it's the other one, Epic. So I'm doing a few days on that.
Love that.
But the teenagers, once they turn 13, then they've no interest. You're an embarrassment. No. You're uncool. Apparently there's some little thing new boy is on, gone viral on TikTok. I'm not even allowed to check it. They said, if you go on TikTok, we will
disown you.
That's their zone.
Dear.
So are you on TikTok?
No. I wouldn't even know how to look for TikTok.
Right, good, yeah.
I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter and I do very little on both.
Okay.
If people put up pictures of me, I just share them to my story, really not knowing what I'm doing.
And how do you respond when people go, are you working on anything at the moment? Is there anything in the pipeline? Are you still doing the acting?
Yeah, I know.
Do you ever get, are you the one from Fair City? Never.
I do get, you're from, what is it? Is it? Oh, it's a Fair City. And I do get Fair City a lot.
Have you been in Fair City?
When? Oh, 20 years ago.
See, I've never even been in Fair City.
Yeah,
and that's the one I get Fair City all the time.
Do you?
Well, I don't get a lot of recognition because I'm just so manky and usually under a baseball hat. But when I do, it's usually, are you Fair City?
Fair City, yeah. Yeah, no, I do. It's kind of, it takes the wind out of your sails, doesn't it? Because usually you're in nothing
yeah. And you know what, and the other thing is, like, you're one of my favourite Irish actors.
Aww,
and you
enormous.
Like, you have 100 episodes of Red Rock alone, plus awards, plus, like, you're kind of have the dream Irish actor's life. But I think the problem is the Irish actor's life. It just isn't set up well for us. We don't get residuals.
No.
It's just not set up.
It's not sustainable. It gets to a certain point where it becomes really unsustainable. Yeah. And, you know, once every week I think, oh, I'll have to get a job.
What job would you get if I said you have to give up? I had 2 rejections yesterday.
Right.
And last night I was definitely going to give up.
Yeah.
Until a lovely voiceover offer came in last night.
I
was like, oh, I'm back in it.
There we go.
So
back
what,
on the train.
Because you're an intelligent woman. If you were to snap your fingers and be in a different job, is there anything that could...
You see, you can't think like that because at a certain age there's no other job.
You're obsolete.
You can't. You're not going to walk into another job.
We could train sideways.
Could train sideways. Well, at the moment I'm doing a bit of writing.
I'm not saying you should.
No. Well, I think you have to.
You have to think that way.
You know, and I find myself when I'm around younger actors. I had an actor do a self-tape with me the other day. A lovely younger actor who is very, very talented. And, you know, I do find myself kind of steering them in the direction of, you know, don't give up your dreams of traveling for this career, or don't give up your, you know. And I see actors just giving up things
already
for this, and that's difficult. But actually there is a part of it that you do have to give up to become
when it's good. It's bloody great
when it's good. It's great. And actually, you know, I don't know even if no, when it's good it's great, but when it's good it's tough as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and
because there is long hours. I'm sure Red Rock you were doing 14 16 hour days.
But Red Rock was very it was like a family, you know. Something like that. When it's good, you know, it's tough. Sometimes it's really hard not getting the job, and then sometimes, and this is going to sound I don't know what it's going to sound
like, you're ungrateful wanker.
Sometimes you get the job, a dry rope wanker, double wanker, you get the job and you're going, oh no, how am I going to do this? So
that's because you've kids,
and it's the
that's because you've kids. You're going, how am I going to manage a week down in such and such? How am I going to get home?
That's what it is. It is because you can't drop everything. And you know, I've found over the years you can't even have a childminder because you can't give them constant work. You know, so I've lost childminders because I'll be working solid for 2 months and then I'll have nothing for 6 months.
Oh,
and then I'll have a week here and a day there. And
you don't want to know the places I've shoved kids for voiceovers, because you can get hours notice or a day's notice for voiceovers.
True.
And if I didn't have a permanent minder, like, it was literally them in the back of the car
ring 10 people on the way to the city going, can I pick you up at your door, and you sit in the car with the kids while I'm inside for the hour, like mental stuff.
I know Norma, that's really difficult. It is really difficult because they're young kids and
well, they survived. They're all teenagers now.
And
they're grand.
They don't want to know you.
Now, they don't want to know me, but they also want me to give up acting. It's totally embarrassing. So be ready for that with the boys.
Oh, do they?
Just remember, you are an embarrassment to them. Like, you are an absolute embarrassment.
Yeah, no, Barry talks about, you know...
Unless you do Marvel, no. If you can get something like that. Yeah. If you can get yourself into a cat suit, like a pleather cat suit.
It's hardly going to happen. If you get yourself into a cat suit with your fucking dry robe on top of it.
So, okay, no therapy can heal our holes. We're stuck with it.
No therapy can heal our holes. No, I think the only therapy is really talking to other actors and realising that everyone's in the same boat. And even really successful people that you see have this thing. And it's that thing with this job that you just have to accept.
Yeah.
You have to accept I say
piss or get off the pot.
That's it.
Stop moaning about it.
And I hear myself moaning and I want to give myself a smack and just go, actually, you're very fortunate to be doing something you love and something that, when it's good, it's great. And you meet so many brilliant people.
You do.
Do you know?
And it's tough for people who've only done theatre. They don't do screen because the theatres are so shut down.
Yeah, that's really hard.
And I also notice people in most lines of work have to, I know we audition, but they have to pitch every day for the next job.
Yeah.
So a builder might have to pitch, you know.
Yeah.
It's constantly pitching. A lot of money goes into that.
Yeah.
It's so personal for us because we audition and audition and audition and there's so many rejections.
And it's about you, isn't it?
It's about you.
It's about you. It's either about how you look or how you sound or how you, if you're right or if you're not right. And that's what's really difficult about it. But having said that, like the lockdowns have been, I think, easier for actors because we're so used to...
We're so used to the limbo.
Limbo and just, limbo, that's a really good word for just being out on a limb and not being... Not knowing when the next paycheck is and when the, you know, that's, it is really.
Well, I look forward to working with you soon, my dear.
I cannot wait.
Yes, hopefully. We both keep writing because I'd love to work with you on something we write because I do think we'd get more satisfaction if we managed to produce something that we'd created ourselves.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yes.
So let's keep that wheel turning.
We will.
And thank you for, I'll be honest with you, I was fairly low this morning, so you've cheered me up.
Oh, that's good.
No, I was throwing in the towel. I had a little tear when I was driving yesterday after the few rejections, just going, mother of God. One of them was for,
when you get close.
One of them was for part of like a farmer from Cork.
Yeah, I know.
Going,
when you look,
I am a farmer from Cork. If I can't get the farmer from Cork.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, I know.
No, it might come back around. The offer's out to some star. Now, hopefully the star gets COVID. Sorry, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Hopefully the star gets a bigger job and then they'll have to come back to the Muck Savage and it'll be fine.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's that's really difficult when you see a part and you know that you could really sit into that. That's the really hard ones.
Yeah.
The other ones you can kind of take or leave, but that makes you question it.
Very popular. Okay.
It might be that part.
It might be that part. Oh, Denise, stop it, girl.
The other woman's dropped.
Glad we had the elocution lessons now. Okay, well, thank you so much, Denise, for the chat. Guys, if you enjoyed this episode, you can tell your friends. If you didn't enjoy the episode, shut your hole and do share, like, follow. What's the one? Oh, leave a review, apparently. That's great. Okay, over and out. Mind yourselves, for God's sake, because if you're in Ireland, you're still probably not vaccinated. We're a disaster. We'll get there. Bye-bye.
It's amazing, Norma.
I haven't shut it up yet. Would you stop talking? Here we go. There we go. I'll get her. Shut up now, Denise. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.